Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast, our first podcast of the year. Woohoo! Hope all listeners had a nice Christmas and New Year, if that's your thing. And joining me, as always, is Donny and Tom. How are you doing, Donny?
I'm very well, thank you.
How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Right, okay, let's do a normal thing. Right into league first, or top three, before we get into the nitty-gritty. So, our own podcast league, the top three, there is one change. First, still Melvinho with 63 points, so 1377 overall. Second is McColgan, 92, 136 overall. And up to third is Skihouse, 78, 1362. But on to the real thing, the score and rank for the game. We missed a couple of weeks, so obviously there's a wee bit of fluctuation. I believe now Tom is leading the pack. It was Donny beforehand. Yep. So I will go first because I'm in the lowest position. 59 points this week for me. I had Roos and goals for 6, Lacazette 1, Captain Tav 12, Stewart 6, Cochrane 2, in midfield, Tillman 8, Jota 10, Hatate 7, up front, Shankland 2, Majorski 3, Furuhashi vice-captain 2, on looking at to get a goal for that one. On the bench, I had left Kelly for 5 points because I decided to go for Ross County at home over him. So that gives me a rank of 74 all in, and that means I've actually stayed 74 for third week in the trot, a grey arrow twice, so not the best points week for me, I think, when I see other scores coming in, but I'm happy to hold rank, and hopefully double game week will make me push toward top 50. So, Donny, you next.
Yep, so I had 64 points for the week. So I had Roos and goals for 6, Captain Tav for 12, Stewart for 6, Cochrane 2, Sean Kelly for 5, and then I have Snodgrass for 10, Tillman for 8, Jota for 10, Morelos for 1, Shankland 2, Furuhashi vice-captain for 2. So that was my 64. My global score is 1352. Last time we spoke, I was in 30th. I'm now 22nd. I've kind of fluctuated between 20th and 23rd. So pretty much where I was last season, trying to get in that top 20. But Tom, with his good run of scores, has now overtaken me. So let's hear what his team is.
So I'm sitting at 20th now. I got 69 points. I also had Roos and goals for 6. Back line of Strain for 9, Tav for 6, Cochrane 2, and Kelly 5. Midfield was Tillman for 8, Ginelli for 2, and Jota 10. And then Captain Shank got me 4, Vice Captain Furuhashi 2, and Duke got me 15.
Okay, so if you'd have got the captain's rate, you'd even better score. So that's not a bad score considering. Right, we'll go to the results for the game week and then we'll talk about it in more detail. So first up, we had St Mirren 1, Hearts 1, then Ross County 0, Livingston 2, Celtic 2, Kilmarnock 0, Aberdeen 2, St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 2, Hibernian 3, and Dundee United 0, Rangers 2. So over to you, Tom.
Yep, so first fixture we've got is Aberdeen 2, St Johnstone 0. And it was a brace from the Duke. Assist came from Johnny Hayes and Bizwayan. Duke now has 9 goals and 3 assists this season. He's only 7 points behind Majowski, and you could probably argue that he's in better form as well. At 4.3% ownership, he does act as a bit of a differential as well. I don't think there's any other Aberdeen players I'd consider. There's maybe an argument made for Roos. As we know, so far the season, goalkeepers don't really feature in the top 10 very often. So more often than not, you're probably just better off having a set and forget. In terms of St Johnston, no goals in the last two games. They did get a couple at home to Hearts after the World Cup, but none of their players are really in form. Obviously, Stevie May wasn't doing too bad before the World Cup, but he seems to have drifted off. So not really any St Johnston players I'd be concerned about. Donny, anything to add to that?
Yes, so this might come back to bite me, but if we can all just take a moment to remember that glorious 3-2 win for Rangers last month. If ever there was a time I wanted to come on a podcast and talk about a football match, it was that one. So, not had a decent run of form since then, 1 point out of 15. But back-to-back clean sheets will be pleasing ahead of Hearts and Hibs in the league. I do have Roos and goals. I've actually got an Aberdeen double, which shows the confidence I have in them. and that has paid off the last two games, so I'm quite happy with that. In terms of players, I think Shinny is a good addition for them. He's certainly a fan's favourite. He won't be afraid to get stuck in that midfield. So that's one to watch. It's quite a good price point, if I remember, as well. So it could be a good move. I thought Aberdeen were far more positive in this game. They had a 0-0 with Ross County prior to that, which I thought was a bit of a drab affair. But yeah, definitely more positive. I thought Miolski was unlucky. He did have the chances, but it was Duke with the goals and the man of match performance. I think if this guy was on penalties, I'd have no doubts that we'd be playing the Luis Lopez Cup at the start of next season. So definitely one to watch. I think St Johnston were poor. They're bang out of form, a hard avoid for me. And from Aberdeen, I think they might suffer at the hands of the double game week. People will be loading up there, but Duke is certainly a good differential and obviously got you the points this weekend.
Yep. Peter, what's your thoughts?
For St Johnston, I agree with Dory, hard avoid. I think they were finding a bit of form before the break, but they've come back fit, not they've kind of dropped off. So again, I wouldn't be touching maybe a cheap defender if you want to kind of, me and Dory have been doing is try to differentiate defence and goalkeepers keep different teams. Aberdeen wise, Dory took words out of my mouth. Graeme Shinny is interesting because it's obviously like a joke in the arm for them. He's a good player, he's done well in the championship, he's a good player before he's come back up. So he probably could toughen them up, maybe make them more stronger defensively. So it's a one to watch. I think, like Donny said as well, double game week, they might be kind of left behind now, but it's going forward interesting. I've got Roos and Stewart. I think it's the same two you've got, Donny, I believe.
Yeah.
I wanted to come off one of them, but then that result, you said back to back. So there's more fires in my team first before I get there. Miolski, I think he's peaked. I'm more interested in Lopez, or I'm sure Tom will get to the other strikers who are becoming more apparent in the game in the next couple of fixtures. So I know we've got one of the groups in the cup is the Miolski group, because at the time of the cup draw, he was one of the top four point scorers, but I don't think he's there anymore. Not much more to add. Interest in Lopez, interest in McLaughlin with Michelin is there's that many players in midfield, and a lot of them have got the non-playing player in midfield as well, so you've only got the four slots. So he might tick over to the same element as like a Hatate or a Lundstrom type player, where he'd tick over and get the points, get the passing points week to week. But I think there's probably more explosive assets out there you could have in your team instead.
Yep. Leading on then, we've got the Celtic fixture. It was Celtic 2, Kilmarnock 0. Goals came from Yota with an assist from Maeda, and there was an Ash Taylor own goal there as well. Speaking of strikers, Maeda is in great form. In the last three game weeks, he's scored 10. Then a 9, and then 8 points this game week. He is 6.2, so he's a bit more expensive than the average form striker, but perhaps well worth the money. The only concern is recent news, Southampton are sniffing around, so that is a concern. And I think there's a decent argument to have him as your third Celtic slot, particularly given Celtic's instability at the back. Yota obviously back into the starting 11. He's, you know, everyone's aware of his ability, and I think he's probably going to come back into the fold and back into some good form as well. Speaking of Kilmarnock, it was an Ash Taylor own goal, minus 2 points. However, his previous scores have been reasonable. He scored 1, then 7, then 1, then 8, then 6. Given Kilmarnock's situation, I don't think that's too bad for a 3.1 million defender. Perhaps they're considering after they play Rangers next game week. but that's all I've really got on that one. Celtic fixture, so I'll come to you first, Peter.
Kilmarnock first. I think we all, maybe you didn't, Tom, I think me and Don had Armstrong at one point in this game, and I was kind of took him out of the team thinking maybe I would rue that day, but he's not really at the form of the breaks seem to affect him, so he's in that kind of cheap midfield range along with Spittle and Montano, the only right one at the right time, but he seems to have dropped off. Kilmarnock, again, I don't take too much from the play Celtic Rangers. They do look they're playing much better, they're hard to break down, so maybe a cheap asset into defence at some point. McGuire, I don't really fancy him anywhere else. Celtic, you mentioned Jota, I think we've got a question on this later. I think Jota was carrying a knock and then he had a bug. So people are worried if he's getting his game time. I think if he's fighting the fit, that'll put him back to the team and he'll be, again, playing pretty much every week. I like the Maeda shout, Tom, or your dad's on him. So he had a good score a week ago with this Maeda striker option, because it's where do you go? There's rotation everywhere and Maeda is, seems to be, he's come back from the World Cup as a form kind of player. And it's just unfortunate he's in that striker position, I know. But then with Jacky Marcus potentially leaving as well, that could actually mean more game time for both of them. So I like it. But then it's giving up Kyogo or Jota for me. And Hatate, who I've brought in, has been the highest scoring midfielder in the last 4 or 5 game weeks using Caleb Wood's thing. So that's a good one to go on for myself. So I don't really see him fit him in right now, especially when I'm sure Donald will talk about him. Sakala has appeared on the scene as another striker option. Nisbet, we'll get to him as well. So there's lots of options where I don't know. I just prefer right now the Celtic midfield. I know I could come back, baby. And but you said, Dom, there's Southampton sniffing about. If you have them in your team, Southampton buy them, then you get a free transfer. So I wouldn't particularly worry about that.
Yeah. And Donny, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's quite funny. You're both saying exactly the same things that I've got written down. So, first of all, it was good to see Jota back in the starting lineup from a fantasy point of view, if nothing else. And those who stuck with him were rewarded with a goal. Defensively, I guess it's Vickers and Starfield that are the only nailed options at the moment. A lot of injury and rotation and transfer speculation regarding some of the other positions. But, yeah, the words I've got here is I'm toying with a Maeda-Kyogo partnership up front. So I'll wait and see over this one. I mean, Shankland, I'm presuming, is everyone else's other striker. And I've got Morelos now. Cholak came off injured, so he might still get the game time. But if not, and I was looking for a third striker, I probably would go with Maeda because I've only got 2 Celtic players. So he slits in fine there for me. But from a game point of view, it was a bit of a slow start for Celtic. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was a good goal from Jota and Taylor with the OG. I guess that's a points killer if you've got him in your team. But on another day, Kyogo bags a couple. I think he was unlucky. And as a vice-captain point of view, I think you can still stick with him. Celtic do have a good run of fixtures coming up, so I wouldn't compromise. You know, just because there's a double game week, I wouldn't forget about them. So I would still load up as best you can there. Kilmarnock, they've got Celtic again in the Cup. Then they've got Rangers, and then that'll be it for them. They'll probably have this massive run. Well, they probably won't play Rangers and Celtic again, depending on their league position. But they're a hard avoid to now. Once they get past the Rangers game, you could probably look to likes of Taylor and that to maybe just slot in the defence there. But a routine win for Celtic.
Yep. Our next fixture is Ross County 0, Livingston 2. It was a brace from Bruce Anderson with assist from Elder and Shiri. Anderson could be a possible differential given Livingston's upcoming double. In terms of Livingston's defence, it's their first clean sheet for quite some time. I think the last one was the 15th of October against St Johnstone, so not ideal there. Livingston, there's questions surrounding the penalty takers. Obviously, we've not done the pod for a couple of weeks. But one game, Nicky Devlin had 2 penalties saved, which was the previous fixture just there against Motherwell. I'm not too sure if he'll retain penalty duties. And the game against Hibs, where they lost 4-0, Goncalves and Fitzwater both had penalties saved there as too. So, not ideal. It could be Sean Kelly, he's a possibility, or Bruce Anderson might be on penalties as well. So that's something to consider. I don't really have anything noted down for Ross County because they're not really a consideration for anyone. I've still got Iacoviti, but I think he's probably going to have to go soon. Donny, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, Ross County are just bang out of form at the moment and they've showed little to make me think that they can turn that around. You know, compared to last season, they were flying high, finishing in the top six, and now they'll be lucky to stay in the division. So, yeah, I think we can avoid them regardless of who they're playing. You probably want to ship out there. As you say, Anderson with a timely double just ahead of a double game week. So that's a dilemma if you've got a third choice striker. Do you go for him or not? I've got both Kellys for Livingston. So Sean Kelly, Stephen Kelly. Then I don't have to worry when I see the name Kelly on the score sheet. So that's worked out quite well over the last few weeks. So if I either had a clean sheet or an assist, they do seem to do quite well. The penalties is a dilemma. I think everyone's had a shot at the moment, so it could well be Anderson's turn. But with the game week coming up, you want to have a couple of Livy players in there. But Ross County, you know, whoever they're, well, they've got Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Hibs. Again, you can fill your boots up any time a team plays against them.
Yep. And your thoughts on that one, Peter?
Yep, straight away, Ross County, no thanks. I'm the same as you. I've got Lacivette in my team as well, but he'll be on the chop block this week for a double game week player. Just don't know who it's going to be yet. Went for Donny's Dive before I get to that one. Up front, Bruce Anderson, I believe Josh McCaffrey. Josh had Bruce Brown in this week, didn't he? That was a good call by Josh. So it does give me a dilemma thinking up top, because I've got Miowski as well. So my plan this week was to get, I've got two transfers, was to get Lacivette and Miowski. That was a 2-1 to go. So Bruce Anderson would be a decent double game week player. Why is Nublin not playing? He's injured.
He was
in the squad, so I was wondering what the script was there. So I'll keep a close eye on that before the deadline, obviously. But if Anderson's nailed to play, then we just take a wee point for a week and they can sit on the bench a week later. I've two Livingston players for the game week coming up. I had Montano, who won Player of the Month last month, but he did not in the last game, so I'm sweating on that one. I don't know if it was just precautionary or we're going back in, or can I again check that near the time as well. Kelly at the back, I take it he came off penalties, he dismissed one too many. Is that the reason? They're just cheating about rotating it. So he's still a cheap route into the defence. I mean, there's not many cheaper starting defenders on other teams, so wouldn't argue against that. And as Donny said the two Kellys, he's worked out not bad at that one. So again, he gives in that cheap midfield bracket range where you're Levitt and Spittle and stuff like that, so he's still another option in there. I went for Montano and you had Kelly, so just two players for the one team.
Yep. Up next we've got St Mirren 1 and Hearts 1. St Mirren's goal was by Strain, the defender, and for Hearts it was Snodgrass with an assist from Mackay, so an inspired choice for Donny. Strain was off at the 18-minute mark, so that's concerning for the double game week. Though, in terms of St Mirren, the clean sheets haven't been so frequent recently. They did have some decent form at the start of the season. Other thoughts with St Mirren are a younger, still not back in the squad. He's in my team. Really need to sort that out. And Main had three shots on target, but no returns. I do think there's a lot better striker options out there than Curtis Main at the minute. Speaking of which, Shankland, his form's much better. He didn't have any returns this game, but I think he's a very, very good captaincy option. Next game week, I'm sure he'll be quite popular, given his form and the fact that he's on penalties. Snodgrass got the goal. I can't read my own writing now. I got Cochrane in, no clean sheet. But I think the Strain returns made up for it. That's my notes, that most of which I can't read. So I'll come to you, Peter.
It was typical dentist doctor notes there. You can't read your own writing. St Mirren, Strain was on my radar, but again, now he's been injured, so double game week, so I don't know. I'll try to again catch that one later on for news again, because he's quite a good attack return this whole season. Ayunga, another option, not there. I know you mentioned Curtis Main. He's other kind of in that bracket with Anderson, but he isn't returning off, so yeah, I'm not going to bother. With Hearts, I mean, I think we've all got three Hearts players now with set up for the double game week. That was the whole point. Donny's got Snodgrass. That's one I've not got. That's one I would have had to take. Donny, I would have him in if I had the extra place to, but I don't. So I think we've all got Shankland, so no problem with that. Cochrane at the back, and I've got Clark. So I'd be interested to see how it was out. They've got favourable fixtures for next double game week, so I think there's a conversation to be had on captaining Shankland. There leaves a question on triple captaining Shankland as well. We'll get to that later in the podcast. But Hearts look a better place. They've got a lot more attacking assets, and we'll see come with May at the end of the season that they do look favourites for third again now, I think, to when they finished last year as well.
Yep. And Donny, your thoughts on this one?
Yep, so St Mirren, that's 5 draws out of the last 6 games now. So whilst they're tough to beat, they're not really that productive up top. Both of the goals were fortunate. Strain was a deflected free kick and Snodgrass was a cross that nobody came to get and went in. Strain managed to get his 9 points out of that 18 minutes of game time, but the goal is 1 point for the appearances and 2 bonus points. That's not a bad haul. I don't know how bad the injury is. He is a kind of player that would sit nicely in a double game week team. Snodgrass, as I've been trying to get him in ahead of this double game week. I didn't realise that was his first goal in the league since about 2011. He's obviously been down south playing his trade, but I know he's had quite a few assists this season and has been ticking well in the points. So quite glad to have him in my team. I thought Hearts were a better team, just unable to convert it. But both teams go again on Friday as the start of the double game week. So I'll talk about that a bit more later on.
Yep. Next game then, we have Motherwell 2, Hibs 3. Motherwell's goals came from McKinstry with an assist from Johansson and Ross Tierney. For Hibs, it was a hat-trick for Nisbet. Assists came from McGeady, Ellie Ewan and Josh Campbell. 3 shots on target for Nisbet and 3 goals. I'm wondering if he can maintain that. But I was kind of surprised with this result given Hibs' performance in the Edinburgh Derby the game week before. I don't know if this speaks more about Motherwell's defending. Nisbet's 5.9 million. In the last 5 games, he has 5 goals and 1 assist with 3 bonus. So I suppose you can't really argue with that kind of form. Though 23 of his 45 points did come from this game. He doesn't have a double game week, but the next fixtures are quite favourable. It's Dundee United, Aberdeen, Ross County, St Mirren and Kilmarnock. If you look at the opposition, Motherwell, there's not really any Motherwell players providing really any sort of consistent returns. Van Veen's had a couple of goals since the World Cup. But again, I do think there's better striker options out there. So there's not really any, there's not really anyone at Motherwell that, you know, I'm really desperate to get in at the minute. Donny, what's your opinion? Any Motherwell players?
No, I think if you score 2 goals and you still lose, it probably doesn't look good for you. I think the main winners from this game were Sky. I think that's only the second non-Old Firm game this season. And they always roll out the 6-6 whenever these two teams play. So certainly good to get them on the air and, you know, lots of goals in that game. I think, it certainly was a surprise, Nisbet getting a hat-trick. I don't think anyone saw that coming. We have McGeady back in the team. Porteous playing well, albeit he's looking to move to Italy from what I've seen. But a really good performance from Hibs. They've still got their troubles at the back. Again, this is another team you'll probably suffer because of the double game week. You maybe look elsewhere and then turn to Nisbet. But for Motherwell, again, a bit like Ross County, they're really bang out of form and don't really have anyone there that can save them. They'll probably be lucky enough that Ross County are worse than them. And that they should survive that way. But one good performance from Hibs is maybe not enough to shift over just yet. I think we'll need to just keep an eye on that one and see what happens after this next double game week. But yeah, good win for Hibs nonetheless.
And Peter, can interest you in a Motherwell player?
Well, I had Spittle for quite a while. He did tick over quite nicely, but Motherwell's form has just dropped off a cliff and there's better options now. So unless it's a double game week, I wouldn't be interested. We always mention Van Veen. He always kind of pops up every second or third week with a goal. But again, there's other options there and their form's bang. It's just terrible. I think they're actually only a wash-off team in Ross County. At least you get... Mackay's as a manager, experienced manager. So he kind of... You know what you're getting with him, he kind of knows how to set a team up, but they've appointed a youth coach in charge. So I think sometimes you get what you pay for, or you promote from within. The guy's got no experience, and it looks like it's come home to roost now that he could a job's too big for him. But Hibs, again, Nisbet is one of the options. I mean, Hibs was, we've all played this game for season one, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because Nisbet was kind of dialing in the first season. Nisbet was really good. He was scoring lots of goals and he was in most teams. And just obviously injuries have kind of ravaged the end of last season, start of this season. But if he can get his form back, he's definitely an option up front. He's really clinical. You said, Tom, 3 shots, 3 goals. He can't get any much better than that. Again, like you both mentioned, double game might be passed by. So it's what they watch come out the end of that, I think. I wouldn't touch him defensively, but because they're definitely shaky at the back. Then Aidan McGeady back, I suppose. He's all that older, but if he's playing in a kind of the winger behind the striker role, then I didn't see if he goes forward. I think we all had him in our drafts at the start of the season because the name stuck out, but the obvious injuries curtailed that. But if he can find some sort of form, he's another decent, cheap midfield option, I think. We see his price was a drop. What's his price now? Do you know off by?
To be cheapest chips. I'll see if I can find them.
4 point something. Well, we always dropped the price anyway, so it wouldn't be that dear. And I believe
4.5.
There we go. So that's maybe the pricier range of the cheap midfielders. I mean, you're getting close to players nearly can tell me, but 1 point was 5.1. So is there. But if you want to be a differential, do something different. If you fancy, we come back, then you could do that. But that's about it. Hibs going forward, yes. In the back, no. Motherwell, completely no.
Yep. And the last fixture then, we have Dundee United 0, Rangers 2. Goals came from Sakala and Tillman, and it was Ryan Jack that assisted Sakala's goal. Sakala got the opener. He also had 3 shots on target and missed a couple of big chances, so it could have been a similar situation to Nisbet there. Cholak started, but he was hooked at half-time for Morelos. Neither are doing too good at the minute. But Tillman has been a really good option since the World Cup. He's in fine form, and I think he's a really good midfield option. The captain Tav option still going strong as well. His last 4 scores have been 8-6, 7-6. So I came off that this week and I was punished. So I think probably given it's a double game week, you're probably going to go for a double game week player. But I think that there's an argument just to kind of have Tav as your permanent captain. In terms of my Rangers options, I've got Tav and Tillman. I'm not really too sure in a third slot, so I'll be interested to hear Donny's opinion. Looking at Dundee United, it's kind of hard to judge, but a standout for me, particularly for the upcoming double, is Levitt. His last 6 scores have been 10, 3, 8, 7, 9, 2, and the 2 low scores came in games against Aberdeen and obviously just Rangers there. So he's a top target for me in going into this double game week. Peter, kind of interested you in Dylan Levitt? Is that something you've considered?
You threw Donnie there. Normally you go to Donnie's first Rangers game. Levitt is on the shortlist for double game week because I do like him, and I think he's, after I move a patch start of the season, he's finding a bit of form. It's either that or Dundee United defender because I've, like I say, lack of it, he's got to go. So I'm trying to think who I'm going to bring in for double game week. Up front, no. Watt's too patchy. Fletcher's too patchy. Rangers do look, they're playing better now. We've seen a couple weeks of Michael Beelball now, so or does Beelball, I don't know how to give him his full name. they look tidier at the back, so there are options there. And the formation seems to become more apart now, where I text Donny this as well. Sakala is becoming a decent option because he's playing off that wing. He seems to be thriving under Michael Beale's tactics, so to me, he comes under the Maeda style as well. He must be similar price, 6.1, 6.2. Can't be far off it anyway. So he's in that kind of bracket as well. If you're not interested in Rangers triple up at the double up at the back, you could easily, I'm assuming most people are going to have Tavernier, right? And then Tillman's the standout option right now. The third one I'm wanting to get to, again, after the game, probably Sakala, if he keeps playing in the team and showing this form, because you've got to go on it while he's hot, because you give a point with it, it falls off and then you've missed it. So I think he looks a good option in the same bracket as Maeda for that third slot up front as a striker.
Yep, I think Sakala's bang on 6 million. And we'll finish off with Tony.
Yeah. Beelball remains undefeated. A good win, not the polished performance just yet, but this was Rangers' first back-to-back away clean sheet in 13 months. Which I thought was quite an amazing stat. And it really does show that, you know, as a defensive unit in the last 12 months, they really have been unpredictable, you know, not managing to go two games away from home without conceding at least once. So that is something that is starting to make a difference. And I think Dundee United caught on to that. They had a lot of early pressure, but couldn't really do anything with it. And from there, it kind of petered out. You mentioned Cholak got hooked. He did go off injured, and that was the reason for the change there. I think him and Morelos played two different ways. I think Cholak is very much plays through the middle and takes his chances as they come, whereas like some Morelos will drag defenders around the pitch and maybe create space for other players. Had Cholak seen out the game, I've got Morelos, I probably would have sold him. But the fact that Cholak's out, I can see Morelos continuing to get the game time. That being said, we do have a cup game at the weekend, so you will get more data there. But as far as the second half goes, and as the second half in most of our games have gone, a lot more impressive. As you say, Sakala, a great finish. You don't realise it until you see it again, that he flicks it up one foot and smashes it in with the other. He's a very frustrating player. He will, miskick the ball will pass them, and then the next minute you've got a moment of genius. So he's certainly somebody you need to be patient with as a fan and as a fantasy owner. But he's in form, and I think with Cholak being out, he probably will hold on to that position. Tillman, again, he's another man that's on form. I thought he took his goal really well. It would have been easy just to snatch at it and send it wide. But two goals in quick succession, it killed off the game, and then it allowed Rangers just to kind of ease themselves into the weekend. It was good to see Roof back in the fold, got some game time. He's very unpredictable. You know, it might not be too long before he's injured again, but it does give us another attacking option. United do have the double game week to look forward. And from a fantasy football point of view, Peter, I think from a Rangers perspective, you could probably go back to the double defence. That's where I would be looking to go. I think we've got a setback four now with Tavernier, Barisic, Goldson and Davies. Any one of those, depending on your budget, I think you'll get rewarded. I'd go Barisic just purely because he's got the assists up his arm. And that is, if you're not going to go Sakala, I think double Rangers defence is probably your best option going forward. So for me, it would be Tav, Tillman, Holds, and then a Rangers defender to make up your three.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yep. Leading on then to the top 10. This week we have Nisbet at number one with 23 points. Obviously a striker for Hibs. Anderson, another striker there, got 16 points. And Duke, another striker, 15 points. Fourth was Jota with 10. Starfelt, 10. Barisic, 10. Snodgrass, 10. Sakala, 10. And then Strain got 9 despite coming off early. And Stephen Bradley, 8 points at Livingston. And he's a midfielder. If we're totaling up the positions, no goalkeepers, 3 defenders, 3 mids and 4 forwards. And I'd say most of the names on that list are players we're very familiar with. So nothing too surprising there. Anything to add to the top 10, Peter?
No, I think the names are all pretty familiar names. So there are probably some good scores this week and some, well, I know there's good scores because I got the scores in on the cup. Yep, I mentioned school forward. It was good food for thought, Donny, also with your mentioning the double up the back. I'm just trying to work out how we'd work out things going forward and the third striker option. Nisbet obviously springs to mind, but I don't know if it's recency bias. We'll see if it goes in a couple of game weeks. But yeah, top 10, good as always, Tom.
You've still got a wild card, have you not, Peter?
Yes.
But you could do that. Tom, you've still got both your wild cards, don't you?
Yeah.
Flying high and still got all your chips. Lucky you, lucky you.
Just a triple captain. I got burnt. Got burnt with
Have you played that already?
Donnie, anything out of the top 10 before you do your deep dive?
No, I managed to get a couple of those in my team. I guess Duke is a tough one to take. I've seen him in a lot of teams. I've missed out there. And Nisbet, obviously, anyone who caught him, big well done. But no, it's starting to get back into the familiar names. So well done if you got some of those guys.
Yep.
Right, Donnie, over to you. You can just go ahead with your double game week dive.
Yep. So similar to last time, I'm going to have a look at the double game week, see who's playing, see who's not playing, and try and work out there. So as things pan out, there's 4 teams playing twice. And for those that have got wildcard bench boosts, you know, you might want to consider that. In this round of fixtures, triple captain, I know it's a question that we've got coming up as well. So the fixtures in full, starting on Friday, it's Hearts v St Mirren. So that's the only one you'll get team news on. You've then got St Johnstone, Livingston, Motherwell, Ross County, Hibs, Dundee United, Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic, St Mirren, Livingston, Dundee United. Did I say that already? Kilmarnock, Rangers. Now, those last 4 games are all midweek because the cup semi-finals are at the weekend. So I've broken it down into the teams that are playing twice, and then we'll look at everyone else. So Hearts, starting off, I think I've probably got the best fixtures because they've got 2 home games, one against St Mirren, who they've just played, and one against Aberdeen. I think they have probably got the best form out of the 4 teams that are playing. They've won 3 of their last 5 games, and obviously Shankland is the main man as far as Hearts are concerned. I believe they've still only had 2 clean sheets in 20 games. So if you're going to load up in defence, prepare to be burned because they do tend to concede goals one way or another. Following that double game week, they've got Livingston. So if you've got 3 Hearts players, you're fine. And then they play Rangers, where you can bench or sub at that point. So for me, I think Hearts look the best. They're good form. They've got good fixtures. So I've got 3 Hearts assets. And I would probably stress that most folk tend to load up on Hearts. So the next team they're playing is Livingston. So they've got away to St Johnstone at home to Dundee United. They do only have 1 win in their last 5 games, and that was the one at the weekend. However, as we've mentioned, Anderson with a well-timed double could be an option for the third striker role. They do go on to play Hearts and Celtic after that. So we're talking about defensive assets. You will have to be careful that you don't get burned in the following fixtures. But they do tend to get you points over the course of a season. So I've held Livingston players knowing that there was a double game week coming up and I should be all right there. But it's whether you want to go with Anderson or not. Then we move on to Dundee United. They've got some tricky fixtures. They've got Hibs away and Livingston away. Now, I thought they were showing signs of improvement outside of the Rangers game. But Hibs and Livingston have both got, you know, good goal scoring form. So again, a defensive asset could be a risk. They play Celtic the week after. So again, do you want to bring in a defender? for two games and then potentially have to ship them because they play Celtic the week after. So just be careful of that one. The name that's been mentioned by both of you, Levitt, would certainly be a good pick in the midfield. If you're on a wild card, for example, you could get rid of your non-playing player and slot him in and make the most there. Fletcher up front, he could be a good choice, but I think he's a minute's risk with the two games being so close together. Last up is St Mirren, and they play Hearts away and Celtic away. So for me, this is not much of a double game week as far as they're concerned. They are usually sound at the back. I mentioned strain during the analysis there, but they do face two of the more free-scoring teams in the league. So I think it would be a hard avoid for me. If I was on a wild card, I might go for Carson. I think that's probably the only position that you'll get points, whether it's saves or clean sheets. O'Hara in the middle, he's on penalties while Iunga is still out injured. So it's a tricky one there. They play Motherwell and Aberdeen after that, but for Motherwell, I'm not really sure. For St Mirren, I'm not really sure if I'd be bringing in any of those assets. Anything on those four teams, guys, before I move on? Peter?
No, you nailed it in order of preference. Hearts obviously load up all the way down. Just on double game week, you said St Mirren. I don't know about St Mirren. If I've got a St Mirren player, I would hold a St Mirren player because yeah, another double game week coming up, like you mentioned, I think. Sort of spoke about it last night. So don't sell them if you don't need to sell them, but I would be rushing to end the exchange.
True. Tom, anything to add to those four teams?
Nope, sounds good to me.
Okay, so we'll look at everyone else. So while those teams play up twice, you need to weigh up whether this is a better or worse option than the teams playing in a single week. So we'll start at the top, Celtic at home to St Mirren. So obviously there's great value in that fixture. I wouldn't be looking to compromise any Celtic players here. Jota, Mieda, Kyogo all offer value in that fixture. So if you've got three Celtic players, I would keep three Celtic players. Rangers away to Kilmarnock. Again, they're looking good under Beale. And I think there's value, we just mentioned, in the match there. There's value at the back and in the midfield and potentially Sakala up front. Kilmarnock will play Celtic in their cup semi-final. So by the time they face Rangers the following week, they could just be worn out. And I think Rangers could roll that one quite easy. The third fixture, we've got Motherwell Ross County. We've talked about these two teams being bang out of form. Will they play each other? So I'm not expecting big things. Maybe Motherwell to edge it, but again, you're not going to go out your way to bring in any of those players. Hibs, they're playing Dundee United. Again, we've only really got Nisbet as a shining light in that team. You probably want to leave that till the following week to see if that form continues. So I would probably avoid there. St Johnstone at home to Livingston. They've lost their last four games. Again, it's a hard avoid for me. They also play Rangers the following week, so you don't want to bring in any of those assets into your team just to then have Rangers turn up and hopefully destroy them. Aberdeen away to Hearts. And while they did get their first win at the weekend, it is going to be a tricky fixture for the Dons. They will obviously have Rangers in the Cup semi-final at the weekend as well, so they'll be going all out there. And then they could be playing a buoyant Hearts. So Duke, Shinny, Roosin, the goals. Again, you're probably not going to bring anyone in from Aberdeen while we've got this double game week going on. So I wouldn't be looking at change there. And then we've got Kilmarnock, fresh off defeat to Celtic. They play Celtic again and then Rangers. So again, it'll be a hard avoid. And as we mentioned in the game overview, they won't have any Old Firm fixtures after that. So maybe once these games are out of the way, you could look to Kilmarnock. So just to summarise, I would load up on Celtic and Rangers. I wouldn't compromise anyone there. Hearts, if you've got two, try and get three. If you've got three, fine. Livy and Dundee United, I think you'll get value out of both of those teams. And St Mirren, as Peter said, unless you've already got a St Mirren player, I wouldn't look to add. Wildcard, if I had two, I would possibly look to use one here and it would freshen up the team. And you'd still have one left. If I had one wild card, I would probably leave it. Bench boost, if I played my wild card, then yep, I would have my bench boost here as well. Triple captain, I guess is the big question, so I'll leave that one. And obviously people got burned in the last double game week that went captain Taff, so it doesn't always work out. So that's the dive for this week. Hopefully it's given you enough food for thought. Tom, anything off the back of that?
Nope.
Are you looking to make changes to your team? Bater. I guess we've already mentioned the kind of names that we're looking for to bring in. Anything that I've maybe missed or that you were thinking about?
No, that's good. I'm just, it gives me a bit of food for thought. I'll just kind of update my wee notes on my phone after this and see who I'm going to bring in. the thing is, I've got it's the lack of 80, I want ready. I don't want to double up. I don't want to double up with Aberdeen at the back either. And I don't want Miosky up top anymore. It's like the lesser of two evils, or three evils, or four evils even. And then we get to transfers. I might actually make one transfer and keep rolling one, so I've got two to come back out the back of it. But
yeah,
we'll get to it. Right, we're ready to go to questions then?
Yep.
Okay, first question is from FPL General. If you could only own one player each level game weeks, who would those four players be? So I was going to do a wee thing on this for the pod, but the question's been asked, so don't you do it? So we'll start with Hearts then. I'm going to assume we're all going to say Shankland. Easy one first.
Yep.
Tom, Shankland?
Yep, Shankland.
Right, Shankland 3. Right, next up, Dundee United then. Who would you pick as your one player for Dundee United? Donny?
Levitt.
Tom?
Levitt.
Peter? Levitt. There you go, there's 3-3 again. Next up is Livingston then, so this might be a differential. Donny, who would you pick in your Livingston team?
Livingston, I have got Kelly, and you can pick Sean or Stephen, I don't mind.
That's kind of cheating, but that's all right. Tom?
I'd probably say Bruce Anderson, just given his brace there in the weekend. And St Johnstone probably likely concede. Dundee United maybe less so. I think they've been a bit better defensive wise. So they're not really up to much in terms of clean sheets. So it'll have to be an attacker. So I'll go Bruce Anderson.
I was going to say Montano because he was in form, but because he's injury risk, I'll follow Tom's suit and add also to Bruce Anderson. And last but and least, St Mirren, Donny?
Carson's the only one I would go close to.
Tom?
O'Hara, is he not on penalties?
He's on penalties.
I'd choose him purely for the penalties.
Yeah, and I'll go with Donny. It's when I to Carson, just for the keeper, he's probably going to get save points out of it, so I would take him. Right, okay, that's that question answered. Next up, let's go through this. Right, Brian at Blaze Attack. Can you rank Snodgrass, Ginelli, Mackay, and Haldy? So, Donny, on you go.
Okay, so I've broken this down. So, solely on points, it goes Mackay, Snodgrass, Ginelli, Haldy. If we break it down to points per game, it's Snodgrass, Ginelli, Mackay, Haldy. And if you look at bonus points, it's Snodgrass, Mackay, Ginelli, and Haldy. So for me, on current form, I would go Snodgrass, Mackay, Ginelli, and Halliday. Halliday is obviously fourth on most of those lists. I think he's a minute's risk and is out of the team at the moment. My first choice is Snodgrass because he's in my team. I think Mackay over Ginelli, just because Mackay is the type of player that can make things happen, whereas Ginelli is probably more of a defensive unit. And just throw somebody else's name into the mix because he's missed him. You've got Alan Forrest, who's ticking over at 3.2 points per game, 8 bonus points. He's a good differential. My only concern for him would be minutes because he's more of somebody that comes on as the first sub. But for me, it's going to be Snodgrass, and that's purely because I've got him. So sorry if that doesn't help you.
Tom, order you for the man?
I've got Ginelli. He's in my team. I think he seems to play a bit more advanced. Snodgrass, because of his recent form. Mackay, he had a decent form at the start of the season, but he seems to have dropped off. And then Halliday comes in at fourth.
Halliday's also, I believe, a possible concussion, so he might even make a game week. So my four would be Snodgrass, Mackay, Ginelli, and Halliday. It's the same as Doyle. That's the four.
Yeah, that's what I had. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next up. Right. It's the same question for Gavin. Gavin, they're all the numbers again. There's talk of Haldy having concussion. If so, you bought my list. Facts, I've kept canceling. That's not even my question. He's replying. Sorry, a lot of rubbish. Next up. Would any of you consider triple captaining Shankland this game week? And that is by Josh McCaffrey. Tom, would you triple captain if you had it on Shankland?
If I still had it, then I think I'd be playing the triple captain.
Donny?
So as you mentioned, Peter, Josh picked Bruce Anderson last game week, so well done, Josh. I did suggest this to him, so I'm going to take partial credit for that. I have no issues But all I would say is this is going to be the same as the TAV scenario last double game week. What I mean here is, if you're going to triple captain Shankland, everyone's going to captain him anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's whether you're going to make the gains there or not. I would counter that with the fact that it's probably a no-lose gamble, because everyone who did triple captain TAV got nothing. So you're bound to make up points on those guys. If you do the triple, I'm more leaning towards not. I will captain them, but I'm more leaning towards not triple captaining them, is my thoughts.
Can I ask you why? Why are you waiting for another?
I just don't think there'll be enough difference. I would probably rather do it as a surprise moment and try and make gains there. But I think the fact that everyone will captain him, the triple captain, unless he goes crazy, won't make much of a difference.
Right, I agree. I think if you still had it, I would potentially do it. I've got mine, obviously, but I'm thinking the same kind of lines as you, Donnie. It's like, he's the most standard double game week player. Somebody's going to captain him. So it's like, do I hold? I think I will. I think we'll still have potential another double game week down the line between Celtic Rangers, potentially, if they both win their League Cup semi-final. So I'm willing to hold off. And if not, as you said, use it as a surprise one game if Celtic or Rangers are playing at home against a league of draws, counting them Motherwell, yeah. I see a full strength team. Maybe the weather gets better and just going to go and go hell for leather, and that'd be the time to do it. Right, next up. John O'Donnell, good week for bench boost. If so, what plus target for the bench? So I'll go this one first. So we've going to mention all the players all for the podcast, so we don't need to go over them again. So I've got a kind of rule of thumb for the bench boost. If you're struggling to pick out your best 11 players and you see points on the bench, I would potentially go for bench boost. Especially this week, if you've got double game week players and you don't know who to bench, who to rest, blah, blah, I think it's quite viable to go for a bench boost, because you're going to have potentially three Rangers, three Celtic, and I'm assuming most teams will have a build-up of some players, maybe four or five double game week players. So if you're in that kind of situation, I would quite happily go for bench boost. One of each could do it, no problem. And you wouldn't. The risk reward's kind of okay. That I think it's worth it. Do you think Donny bench boost this week or not?
Well, I've used mine already, so not much I can add to that. But unless you were wild carding, I wouldn't probably bother. From that, what I mean is I've got a non-playing goalkeeper, I'm a non-playing player, so that's already two positions that wouldn't get scores. So a wild card allows you to bring two new players in there. So if I was wild carding, I would then tag my bench boost alongside that. But just because it's a double game week, I probably wouldn't. Just going on your sort of rule of thumb, yeah, I'll probably have three Rangers, probably have three Celtic, probably have three Hearts. That's nine already. So you want to make sure you've got enough balance to your team that when we come out of the double game week, you're not stuck with like a Dundee United who then play Celtic and you're not going to score. So keep your Aberdeen assets in there or a Hibs asset. Just make sure that you've got enough spread that if one game doesn't work out, you've still got a route into the following game week. But as I say, I wouldn't do it just because it's a double game week. I would make sure that I've built my team up accordingly.
Team dependent, he may not have a goalkeeper or a pick player, so you could have 11 players, maybe a couple double game weeks, then it depends your situation. Tom, bench boost, yeah or nay?
Well, it depends on the situation. Assuming that he's got a non-playing goalkeeper and a non-playing midfielder or defender or whatever, and maybe his bench isn't up to much, it would have to be on the back of a wild card so you could strengthen in those positions. So, I mean, it is team dependent, so he might not be in that situation. He might have a very balanced team with no non-playing player. Or he could just use his transfer this week to get rid of the non-playing player. But, I don't think this is the one to bench boost in. I think there'll be doubles coming up as well.
I'm surprised. I thought this is probably the biggest double game we're going to get. It's going to be bigger than this. Any games left? It's going to be more than one team playing.
I think we all look for one where Rangers and Celtic play twice, and that's when we tend to load up on it. I think with Hearts playing twice, I think you might get value out of them, whereas everyone else, you're kind of taking a punt. As I touched on, you've got teams playing single game weeks that will probably score just as much. So you always have to be careful as far as those games go. But with Tom, with all his chips coming out of his ears, I'm surprised he's not considering at least one of those.
keep his cards close to his chest. What do you see his team after the deadline?
Last two game weeks, they just go wild.
Right, so that is us with that. Any other questions I missed, Donny? Is that them all covered?
No, I think you've got them all.
No, there's actually one for Gavin. I forgot 5 hours ago. Again, Gavin got all the numbers after his name. The Jota, O'Reilly, Kyogo rotations are causing me headaches. Any tips? So I'll quickly cover this. Come to Tom and yourself, Donny. I think Jota's back in the team, so I wouldn't worry about that one. I think Kyogo's minutes are probably now even more nailed with the Jack and Max situation. And O'Reilly, Andrew did say it was just because of the games he played and it was for a rest situation. But out of the three players, I think O'Reilly is probably the one more inclined to be rotated in the next few game weeks going forward. So, up to you, what you think of that one? I think with the emergence of Moy played well, we've seen another Japanese midfielder, I'm sure, at game time. Hatate's kind of hit in really good form. So, I don't know if O'Reilly could be potentially of playing a game, miss a game, playing a game, miss a game. Well, I think if Jota's fit, he's playing. If Kyogo's fit, he's playing. Thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think things will settle down now that Jota's back to full fitness. Obviously, we've mentioned the Jakimakis situation. It doesn't seem to be going away. And whilst the transfer window's open, he might find himself just having to make do with the bench. So I think Kyogo's a bit more nailed now. And then obviously the one that is a bit risky is O'Reilly. But we have talked on the pod and we did say there's merit in looking at perhaps Maeda as your third Celtic slot. So that's perhaps something to consider, and that might ease the headache a little bit there as well.
Agreed on your different thoughts?
So, yeah, I've had O'Reilly in my midfield for the last few game weeks, and he's ticked over okay. I also had Jota. So what I was doing is I was waiting until this weekend to see the team news. Unfortunately for me, with O'Reilly being benched, it made the decision easy. So I took him out for Snodgrass. Had it been the other way, I might have taken out Jota. So it's just luck as far as that goes. But that's just left me with two Celtic players. And the more that I've been talking on this podcast, I am more and more convinced that I might pick Maeda as a rogue choice for this weekend as my third slot. So that's where I'll go. He's just nervous because I'm on his tail.
Your dad's at the trains, Tom. Dory's just following him.
Now that Strain's injured, I think that St. Mirren's, all the defenders, like the first choice defenders, are all out.
Oh,
so,
there you go. That's okay, me. Go. Committed.
Are you like,
where's my phone?
Right, okay. We'll go to the fixtures and then we'll talk quickly about transfers, vice captain caps. I'll be fully mentioned all during the podcast. So, as Dory mentioned earlier, there's only one early team news you will see, which will be the Hearts of Man game Friday night. And then we've got St Johnstone Livingston, Motherwell Ross County, Hibs Dundee United, and you need to wait 4 days for Hearts Aberdeen, Celtic St Mirren, Livingston Dundee United, and Kilmarnock versus Rangers to wind up the game week. So upon hearing that, I think we already mentioned it. Who's your captain, Donny? Is it Shankland?
Yeah, Shankland. Vice captain is Kyogo. It's going to be difficult because there's the cup games at the weekend, so there'll be fixtures before you even know what the team's going to be. So it is a risk if you do go Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen or Kilmarnock vice captaincy choice that you could get burned. But at the moment, it'll be Kyogo.
Yeah, not much you can do there. If injury happens, it happens. You're just everybody in the same boat. Tom, captain, vice captain, plans?
Same as Donny. Captain Shank, vice captain, Kyogo.
Right, I'm the exact same. So transfers then. So we talked about all podcasts. Do you have, first of all, Donny, you have one or two transfers?
I've got one. Ideally, I want to make two. I want to get to a position where I'm maybe going to change Morelos for Maeda and then bring in Barisic at the back for Rangers, but I'll probably do that over two game weeks and see how that pans out. So my change, I'll probably change. See, I've got Mulgrew in defence as well, and he's not playing, so it's just a bit of a waste of time. So I might just change that to Schnau, and I don't know. But it's just because we've been talking about it, made us sounding more and more attractive throughout the podcast. So that might be my change for this weekend. Morelos for me.
Yeah, we're going to see me in your team after the deadline, 100%. Transfer plans?
So I've got two transfers. Jakovic, I mentioned, needs to come out. And I'm probably going to get rid of a younger because St Mirren, you know, it's not really a double game week. And he's not even in the squad, never mind in the starting 11. So he's got to go. So I mentioned Levitt for a younger. That'll be one. And I think a player I like Luka Behic, the Dundee United defender. He's also very attacking as well. He's had 2 goals and 3 assists so far this season. So there's the opportunity of maybe getting some returns both ends of the pitch. So I think he's a good option for Iacovitti.
Right. I've also had 2 transfers. So again, I'm in the same situation. It's Iacovitti I want rid of. And up front, I want rid of Majovski. So it depends what I do. My thoughts were maybe Bruce Anderson and the Beach was one I was thinking about at the back. But Donny talked more earlier on. I also don't fall out with bringing in Barisic because I think he could potentially have the exact same points, if not more, than a double game week player to bring in. So, Maeda, I mean, I couldn't get to him this week, obviously, because I've got 3 Celtic starts. So that's a no for me, but something I might think about in the future. But, yeah, I have to think about it. I've got to Friday night anyway. How many times a kickoff? Did I say that again? It's at 7:45, and it's my long weekend, so I'll be at the caravan, I'll be chilled. I'll have a cider opened, I'll have an app open, then I'll make my decisions by that time and we'll see what happens. But I think I'm going to use 2 transfers. I've still been rolling one, but I think I'm going to do Jakub. The only thing with Jakub is this could be the game week where they do something against Motherwell and he's points off the bench for one more week and then shift them, but then Donny Shane.
Say that every game week with him, though. Same with Taylor.
I think I'm just going to draw a line with him and up front. But we'll see how the budget goes as well, because I don't think my budget stretches to all that if. Depends. What's price Bruce Anderson off the top of their head?
No.
He'll be 4.7, won't he? Right, anyway, we'll wait and see. So that is us covered all the bases for the double game week fixtures. All I want to kick a quick update. The Fantasy Football Scotland Royalty Rumble is still ongoing. This is the last week before another elimination occurs. And somebody asked me a question, so I want to just confirm this. If you finish on the same points as somebody in the bottom three, you're out, double elimination, there's no split. So if somebody's above the bubble, finishes in 2-3-8, and somebody under the bubble finishes 2-3-8, it's a double elimination, like the two's over the rope at the same time in the Royal Rumble would be. So there is, you need to differentiate yourself, finish same points, you are out. And another 3 game weeks after this, there were another 3 out, and then we all went to one big league where the points are reset for the last throw at it. So there we go. I believe our champion is just holding on no more. Mervinho, because he's in a poor group. Any other group would be in the bottom three, but because he's in the group of low scoring, he's managed to survive so far, so the champ's still there. Right, before we go then, Tom, get your plugs in.
I am at @FFS_scout on Twitter.
Donny?
And I'm at @FFS_Donny.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you down the road. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.